Radio City Talk.
The Legends with 1-888-BET. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
Liverpool have done it!
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Just gone 6:30. My name's Mick Coyle, in for Steve Hothersall this week, and we have the Radio City Legends with us to take your calls on all matters red and blue. From a red point of view, we're talking about defenders. And from a blue point of view, it's all about who plays up front. Does Omar Nias come in from the cold? Is it time to make DCL number one when it comes to Everton's goals? Your opinions, please. Your thoughts on previous games and games to come. Leicester versus Liverpool again this weekend. And Everton versus Bournemouth. A run of home games for the Blues, including Europa League action and a tie against Burnley. Plenty to discuss. With one red and one blue, you can get involved on the phones 0151 472 0967. Graham Sharp in the studio, as ever.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
And representing the red half of Merseyside, get involved 0151 472 0967 if you want to speak to Dominic Mattio.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, thanks, pal. Great to see you.
Thank you much.
Great to get a Liverpool defender on the show.
Yeah, nice to be here for a mistake, probably.
I've got a feeling that your opinions might be
quite... We've all got one.
Yeah, absolutely. And plenty of people have got opinions about Liverpool's defenders. And plenty of people, Sharp, have got opinions about Everton's strikers, Everton's goal-getters. Ronald Koeman couldn't get who he wanted. He's already got a couple of options, though, and a couple may have appeared in the cup last night.
Well, yeah. Listen, first and foremost, it was important we got a result last night. I think a lot of people... looking at it as a possible banana skin, but I would have to say Sunderland were really, really poor. James Vaughan, I think, apart, you know, I thought the rest of them were poor. But you have to beat what's in front of you, and we done that. And fortunately, after the goal, the first goal, Sunderland didn't change it, and we managed to get two and then three. So, yeah, some good performances along there. Excuse me, obviously, the one that springs to mind is Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Took his two goals very, very well, led the line well, and, you know, I said before, you've got to be patient with the boy. But I think the story of the night was Omar Nias coming off the bench. Good reception from the fans, and I think the reaction of the players when he scored, great goal, great control of his chest and great half volley. But I think the reaction from his own players tells you an awful lot. You know, this is a guy who's been out in the cold. He hasn't lost heart, you know, he's stuck at it, hasn't been a pain in the neck, if you like. He's continued to train well, he's continued to play in under-23s, put in good performances there. So he thoroughly deserved that last night, and I think that shows you how much the lads thought of him as well, because he'd been through a really tough time in his career, could have moved elsewhere, but he's kept his head focused. And I was delighted to see him score last night.
Ronald Koeman in his press conference today say he's an option now for the weekend. Does Ronald Koeman have to eat humble pie? Because to drop this guy from the squad, not even give him a locker, I wonder whether or not some fans think, in many ways, it might be a little bit disrespectful towards a professional footballer.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, you know, also, obviously, Everton were looking to bring people in. You know, I think he's probably looking at that as well, thinking by the start of the season, we'll have brought maybe two more strikers in. It didn't happen. So sometimes you have to eat humble pie and go back to somebody that you'd probably written off before. But as I said, all the credit goes to the player. You know, I thought, you know, great. Listen, people will pick up him, what he can't do. He can't do this, can't do that. But what I like about him, he took his goal well, but he gets on the shoulder. And for many times nowadays, Dom, when you see teams passing for the sake of passing, yep, and then they look up and they've got nobody running, he wants to get on the shoulder and run in behind. So, listen, you never know. You know, but
it always surprises me, like, Sharpie, when we talk about that, because as a defender, the last thing, the worst thing, what I didn't like doing was running towards my own goal, chasing a centre forward, making decent runs in behind. I don't know why strikers, or they maybe do it more, but why don't people just put them balls in? Especially when I played left back, the great Ronnie Moran used to say to me, just clip one in behind the fullback, and get, you know, it's a great ball for the Cut team them. As well. Yeah. And I just think we just don't use some of the basics of the game well enough, in both sides.
Was that one of the problems against Manchester United, that in the end Everton had about five attacking players on, but none were playing as that lead man who was playing off the shoulder? Even Sandro, when he came on, kept dropping back to receive the ball.
Listen, people have different formations. You look at Liverpool, and you wouldn't see Liverpool got an out-and-out target man or striker. They're very mobile and they're quick. So it's different situations from Everton. Everton, through the years, have always had a number nine who's a target and they can get hold of and feed off and go on the end of crosses. But we haven't got one of those. We've got young Dominic Calvert-Lewin who's played wide left, played wide right. He started through the middle, and I think that's our best option as a striker. He will have, you know, dips in his form, you know, but, you know, obviously Wayne Rooney can play up there as well. Obviously not as mobile as what Dominic is. But no, I think Dominic's got a big future. I think without going overboard, he scored a left foot, scored right foot. He should have had his hat trick when he had a great header, hit the post. So he's got all the attributes. It's just how he progresses. So he's done really, really well. It'll be interesting come Saturday. You mentioned the Bournemouth game, what the manager's team selection will be. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, of course, this weekend, Everton versus Bournemouth, 3 p.m. kickoff. Saturday, Goodison Park. And for Liverpool, it's funny how these things work out, Don, but it's Leicester again. I'm not quite so sure how happy Jurgen Klopp is about that one. We'll talk about the defensive options. Can I ask you about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, though? Because Ronald Koeman has talked a lot about the fact he couldn't get in the striker that he wanted. If you are a young player coming through the ranks and you know there's no striker that's going to get in, there's no one else coming into the club between now and January, you take the opportunity, don't you? You just show what you're capable of.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Sharpie's hit a point. I think he may be the best option at the moment because he has got that bit of pace. I know he's a little bit raw. I mean, I watched him a couple of times last year in the derby and stuff, and he looked a bit raw. He looked like he had to work on his touch a little bit. Things were bouncing off him. But from what I've seen this season, he looked a little bit more composed. Maybe like you've said, he's seen an opportunity. I could be the main target man and maybe get a run of games. And to improve as a young player, time on that field on the first team, with the first team, around good players, makes you a better player. He needs other players to help him because he's a young lad. And maybe that's the one thing the lads need to do at Everton, is get round him and give him that support he needs. Because if he is going to play up there as a pivotal centre forward, as Sharpie was saying, you need people around you just to touch things off and spin and get him behind. And I think that's the one thing as a young player, you still need a little bit of help from the players in your squad and in your team. But if I was him, I'd be grabbing it with both hands because, like you've just said there, and like Sharpie said, it looks like he's a good talent, but he's got a lot to learn, but it's a good opportunity for him to get a run of games together.
We've got Don Matteo in the studio for the Radio City Legends tonight, 01514720967. Sharpie's here as well. Red or blue, give us a call, 01514720967. Are you fussed about being knocked out of the Carabao Cup?
It's never nice to lose games, and when you're on a bit of a poor run, I always think to myself, when you have a game, maybe it's not the biggest cup in the world anymore. To me, it's still a trophy, and also, you know, Liverpool have been very successful in that cup over the years, and also it's maybe a chance to put things right that aren't going right in the Premier League. You know, before the weekend, right? Can I pick a team that's, you know, maybe, or at least the back four and the goalkeeper they're going to play at the weekend to give them some continuity of playing together. You know, I think sometimes when you're making the changes week in, week out, it's very difficult, no matter what the competition is, for the players to get any, you know, partnerships going. Yeah. You know, two centre-halves different every week and the full-backs and in different positions. I just think it would have been a good opportunity, in my personal opinion, to get a good performance. And it wasn't the worst performance in the world.
No.
We know, you know, they play, especially first half, they played really well. Coutinho was excellent before he obviously brought him off at half-time. But if we're taking a chance, it could have been a different game.
Yeah.
But what I mean is just maybe sometime when you think it's not such a big game, can we use that game as a springboard to you know, to the next game and to maybe the formation and maybe the, you know, the people who are going to play in them positions where we're talking about.
We discussed it on Monday night with Roy Evans, and both of us, and Dom's the same now as well, what we're saying is you need to have a settled back four and a goalkeeper to build an understanding. And we had the callers coming in the other night as well, and they were the same ilk. They thought the same as well. And it's paramount that you've got a settled back four, back three, whatever you want to call it, and a goalkeeper. The more and more change, and he's been questioned a few times, Klopp, and he won't admit it. He's been in there now, what, 2-3 years, and you can look at the sign as, okay, he wanted Van Dijk in the summer. But I think all Liverpool fans, without a shadow of a doubt, know Liverpool going forward are one of the best, if not the best, going forward in terms of pace and everything else. But their Achilles heel has been that defence, and it's been that defence for the 2 years that Klopp's been here, or how long he's ever been here. Listen, the other night, they should have won the game comfortably. Absolutely should have won it comfortably. They didn't take the chances, okay, and then they get hit from a lesser team who, in the first half, were abysmal. Second half, they got a little bit better with the introduction of the substitutes. And we were just laughing about it before. The boy Slimani, who I probably thought was the worst player I'd seen playing centre-forward, scores a worldie. So that happens when it's going against you.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think the majority of Liverpool fans have said it already, that the defensive situation is one. Ex-players as well have said it is not ideal.
I'm just looking at last five games, back five. Arsenal game 4-0, Karius Gomez, Matip, Lovren, Moreno. Then lose 5-0 to Man City with Mignolet, Trent, Matip, Clavin, Moreno. Then draw 2-2 with Sevilla with Karius, Gomez, Lovren, Matip, Moreno. Draw 1-1 with Burnley with Mignolet back in goal with Trent, Matip, Clavin and Robertson. And then lose 2-0 to Leicester with Ward, Flanagan, Clavin, Gomez, Robertson. Every single goalkeeper, every single game, he changes the goalkeeper for six games. Yeah. The partnerships in centre-half change in every game, and also the partnerships between the centre-half and the full-backs are pretty much changing in every single game as well.
Well, you maybe hit the nail on the head, haven't you? With Sharpie just talked about that. The back four, I mean, I call it sometimes the back five, maybe, because the man in front is so important as well, especially the way Liverpool play, because they all like to bomb forward. That job in front of the back four is crucial. And whoever plays it has got to be a good organiser and a good talker, because the two centre-halves, whoever's playing there, don't really talk in my eyes at Liverpool. So maybe Henderson, the experienced one in front, should be doing more talking. But yeah, I think with your goalkeeper, your centre-half and your full-back, I wouldn't like to touch them, but that's just my personal opinion. I like to keep them the same. I know sometimes, maybe for the Carabao Cup, you can make a couple of changes, but in the main, I would like to keep them the same every week in, if I can. I know for injuries and stuff, they have to change at times, but I think, like you've just said, there's been too many changes possibly for the back four to really settle and get any consistency.
It's just sort of makes this thing again, when there's too many games and the football's changed this much. Rubbish. You ask any Liverpool player that played in, not the Leicester game, the last game they won, I'm not sure, do you want to play? Yeah. They'd all say, yeah. Without a shadow of doubt, they'd all say, the majority would say, yeah, I want to play. You're not a bit tired? Tired? Not at all. So that's where you get the continuity. But now, all of a sudden, people and analysts and all that say, no, he's in the red zone, he's a bit tired, leave him out. Absolute nonsense. You've got to play your best team for me. And I know times have changed, but for me to get continuity, listen, there's going to be games where the Carabao Cup is probably the least of the big teams want, kind of thing, in terms of trophies. But the other competitions, changing week in, week out your team, I don't think it's necessary.
For the weekend, Lovren is a doubt. Matip might be back in training tomorrow. The big Gomez will be suspended, right? Suddenly Liverpool scratching around for a defence.
Yeah, we touched on it earlier. I'm just, you look at that, probably going to be Clavin and Emre Can if Matip doesn't make it, and obviously Lovren's out. So
Can versus Vardy?
No, I've just written that down. Obviously, Vardy's obviously going to come back in and they'll look to put balls over the top. I mean, don't get me wrong, Chan's an athlete. He can get about, but it's the reading of the game and reading of that situation. He has played there before, but it's not ideal. It's another change and probably one he didn't want to make in that central defensive area. But it's a difficult game again, Leicester, because they are a threat on the break.
All right, let's get on the phones. 0151-472-0967. That's 0151-472-0967. If you're red or if you're blue, then you can have your say. We've got Graeme Sharp in the studio. And Dominic Matteo. My name's Mick Coyle in for Steve Hothersaw this week. Where's he at now, Steve?
I'll be golfing or something. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'll be a freebie somewhere.
Atletico Madrid, by the way, just mentioned this one, Costa, agreed the deal for Costa.
Yeah, 50 million quid, yeah.
What does he do for the next few months? Does he move over there? Does he go and train over there for a bit?
Yeah, he must train, yeah.
Can he train over there? I don't know if he can train over there. I don't know if there's still an embargo on there.
But that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Have to train somewhere.
Yeah, train somewhere.
There's a World Cup coming up next summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he won't have played football for more than 6 months.
Yeah.
Strange one that they found themselves in as well. So. And there's some interesting comments from Jose Mourinho as well about the Carabao Cup. You say it's the least important. Mm-hmm. When you've got a manager of the club who have won the Carabao Cup most recently, who are progressing through the competition easily, and he's basically saying it'd probably be better for everybody involved in English football if this competition didn't exist. It undermines the trophy, absolutely, doesn't it? I mean, arguably, if it was a manager who'd just been knocked out, you go, that's just sour grapes. But if the guy who's won the thing and who's got a side who are progressing through it is going, we don't actually need this, there's no point in having it.
So why don't we get rid of all the teams apart from the top six then? That's basically what he's saying. So forget about everybody else. It's all about the top six and what is good for us now.
I'm surprised that as well, because Mourinho's used that as a springboard himself, to get a trophy, to get the players used to that winning mentality. He's used that before, so I'm a little bit surprised at that, but obviously that's the way the game's going, which is disappointing for me, because, as the League Cup, as we knew it back in the day, it was always an important cup.
But when you've got Liverpool, who are playing Saturday or Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Champions League, and then into the Premier League again, and you think, right, it's a break now, and then you think, oh no, it's a Carabao Cup game, which people maybe don't think is that interesting.
How big are the squads, Mick? That's why they buy big squads.
Yeah, Liverpool could field two or three teams quite comfortably. And whichever team they put out against Leicester, in my opinion, should be beating Leicester. That's my opinion, but Liverpool should be beating Leicester with that squad they have.
Run of games now for Everton. Everton versus Bournemouth on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. 5:30 is the Leicester-Liverpool game. And then, Sharpie, Everton have got this run of home games now. And I wonder whether or not it's just a time for things just to settle down a little bit.
Well, you'd hope so. Like, everybody looking on paper and saying, yeah, we've got Bournemouth, Saturday, Burnley, the next home game as well. We should win those two. But that doesn't happen like that. And the run of form we're in, we're... listen, we argued about it on Monday night. The run of games we've had, the start has been really, really tough. So forget that now. We've got to concentrate in Bournemouth. Not Burnley, Bournemouth. And make sure we get 3 points. It's imperative we get 3 points on Saturday. They're down there as well. What you don't want to do is get yourself down there, and we're -8 at the moment with goals, the goal difference, which is poor. So we need to get that into the positive, into the plus, and start winning games. But Bournemouth will come. Bournemouth will come and make it difficult and get behind the ball, but they'll play. They're a good football side. They'll try and play, but they'll try and silence the crowd. They'll say 20 minutes. Let's make it difficult for Everton, and the crowd will go on their back. So it'll be a tough game Saturday.
We'll talk some more about that. Your thoughts, please, on the defence from a Liverpool point of view, the attack from an Everton point of view, or the other way around. If you want to get involved, you can do. It's Radio City, and it's Radio City Talk. It's the Legends with 188bet.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7, it's Radio City, Radio City Talk, Radio City Legends. And we have Graham Sharp in the studio alongside Dominic Matteo. My name's Mick Coyle, in for Steve Hothersall this week. Get involved on the phones, 0151 472 0967. We had a caller lined up and he's disappeared. So we'll get Dave. Dave's had a mare there. First call of the night, Sharpie, and he's let us down already.
Don't get me started on Dave. Don't get me started.
You can get involved in any of the topics that we've raised on the show. 0151 472 0967. Dave reckons that's a new record, by the way. You criticise him on the show. We've been on air for 21 minutes.
He's done okay tonight,
Hey, it was me who made you that brew before the show.
No, thanks,
I should have got the credit for that one.
Get
involved on the phones if you want to speak to one of our legends tonight. You can talk about any of the issues, whether it's games that have gone or games that are yet to come. Don't forget, in the Champions League on Tuesday, it's a long trek over to Moscow, Spartak Moscow versus Liverpool. And then it's Apollon Limassol, who Sharpie's been in scouting, have you?
But enjoyed that one.
Yeah, they're in Cyprus, yeah. I don't know that much. But listen, who do Liverpool play after the Moscow game on the Saturday?
So it's away at Newcastle 4:30 on Sunday.
Oh, it's not a bad one. Yeah, you'd still fancy Liverpool to win there.
Okay, let's get a first red of the night on. It's Michael, who's in Egbeth. Hi, Michael, you're on with Dominic Matteo.
Hi, boys, you all right?
Hi, Michael, you okay?
Yeah, good. Just want to bring up the Liverpool situation, mate. Obviously, a lot's been talked about the centre-backs.
Yeah,
but for me, the defensive mid.
Yeah,
that's really important, like.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, Michael. I've just been speaking to Sharpie and Mike about that. Just basically saying that for me, somebody needs to take charge in there, especially the way we're playing more expansive this season. We are breaking forward a lot quicker this season than even we did last year. Somebody has to be responsible in front of that back four and organise and talk and dictate. For me, maybe Henderson's not as mobile as we'd like, and for me. He's a decent, neat and tidy footballer, but we need someone with legs, with mobility, who can get around the field and can dictate from that central area.
Well, exactly that. Jordan Henderson's not a bad footballer.
No,
don't get me wrong. I'm not the biggest fan at all, but I don't think he's a defensive midfielder.
No, I was just saying, I sometimes felt he did better when he was breaking forward. And, he can deliver a good ball and he's also got a decent strike on him. Sometimes for me, when he's playing slightly further forward, he can make things happen for the team. And I think he just kind of found himself in this defensive midfield position. Obviously, he's the captain. A lot of expectation on his back. He's obviously following the steps of a legend in Steven Gerrard. So it's it'd probably be a little bit difficult to him. It feels maybe a little bit of pressure. But I mean, obviously, if you can get the lad in from Germany, Keita.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he would be a real big bonus for us, because I think he will be the answer to that area of the field.
Do you think he's defensive mid, do you, Matt? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think he is. I think he's mobile enough to do that, and I think he's disciplined enough to do it. But I know he's good going forward as well. But I think it's the manager's responsibility. If you're buying somebody and that's a position you need, you have to tell him that's what you're coming in to do. You're coming to do a job there. If you play holding midfielder, there's going to be a couple of times in the game where you might have to break forward and keep possession and make something happen. That's just part of being football. It's football intelligence. And, you know, sometimes players have to interchange. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of criticism on the back four when in front of the back four as well. It's just as much of a problem at times, especially when we're attacking.
Exactly, mate, yeah. And with that Clavan as well, I feel a bit sorry for him because he was brought in as fourth-choice centre-half.
Yeah.
And to be thrown in certain games, all right, he hasn't done the best, but...
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty fortunate when I played, where I played, I had someone in front of me like David Batty, Oliver Decore, and people like that who I knew definitely, as soon as the ball's getting trying to get played into a centre-forward's feet in the or in the air, they were in front of them. They couldn't make that pass. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I just feel at times it's too easy to get into the centre-forwards from throw-ins and from free kicks, and it's just a little bit of talking and organisation. There's nothing really massively wrong with Liverpool. It's just a few teething problems. They need to get out right sooner rather than later before we fall 2 foot far behind in the league.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing, Noel. Dominic, it's he had the problem to address them spaces in the transfer market, and he hasn't done. All right, he's added to the attack and stuff, but...
Yeah, do you feel like he's bought players in that very much of the much like we already have, very similar to what we have, and we haven't really... Well, we brought a left-back, and I think Robertson will be a decent player for us going forward. He's a good athlete and gets up and down. He'll get better as defensive. But I think I agree with what you're saying. Some of the players have brought in are very similar to what we have already in the team. So going forward...
I think we did need that, to be honest, but I think we needed just the one or two more, just a bit of a spine to the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Listen, we all know who would love to get another centre-half in and a holding midfielder. We've got the holding midfielder, but he's just not arrived yet.
All right, Michael. Thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it. Okay. That's Michael in Egbert, 0151-472-0967. Lucas was allowed to leave the club, wasn't he, in the summer? I wonder whether or not maybe some Liverpool fans have gone, well, looking at the options for this weekend and talking about that defensive midfielder, maybe if he'd been around or somebody like him was around the club, he'd be in the first 11.
If you look back to like Sharpie's era as well, you know, before me, Everton had some great players in that position. Peter Reid, Paul Bracewell, you know, not underestimated players. You know, when you play with them, you know how good they are. They can sit in front of the back four and they just do for the team, it's selfless, isn't it? Yeah. Just do all that running, and put extra yards in, and they just make things easier for the players around them.
The era before me. Do you notice that, Sharpie?
Yeah, I noticed that. Young
lads coming along.
I didn't mean it like that, Sharpie.
Let's go back to the Red Half of Merseyside. We're staying with them, and it's Steve and Kirby. Steve, you're on with the Radio City Legends and Dominic Matteo.
Hello, mate. You all right?
How are you, Steve?
Not too bad, yourself.
Good, mate, good.
My point is, at the moment, like, as we say, a lot of people are talking about the defence and things like that. And then you look at the Coutinho situation. You've got Coutinho, who put in a transfer request and wants to leave, which, all being good to him, like, Barcelona's a fantastic team to go to. But he's been welcomed back with open arms. What about the likes of Sacco, who got frozen out? What do you think of that?
Steve, I think it was a different circumstances, wasn't it? I think that we don't know what went on in the pre-season tour. I think he's obviously upset Jurgen Klopp in some way or the other. And I think it's a totally different situation. Listen, from an Everton point of view, I thought Sacco was probably one of your best defenders in terms of going and heading it and clearing an old-fashioned defender. But I think that the bridges were burnt, you know, between him and Klopp on a personal issue. So I think that was the reason why he left. I think Coutinho is different, you know, a different way. I know what you said, he wants to leave Liverpool, but I still think you've got him back and I still think he'll be a big player for you this year.
Yeah, I think as well.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Coutinho's an unbelievable player. He can change a game round, score goals from quite the way out, close up, create a lot of different moves within the team, especially with the likes of Salah and Mane and Firmino playing in front now. There is a lot of creativity there that he can go forward. But I just think that I think Klopp might have cut his nose off despite his face with the likes of letting Sacco go when he wants to go for the likes of Van Dijk, who's a fantastic player. But I don't think he's worth the $70 million that the Southampton are requesting. When you've got a quality player of Sacco's ability to hold up that defence, because the year that we got to the final against Dortmund and you had Lovren and Sacco at the back, I don't think we'd have got that far if it hadn't been for them two.
Yeah, I mean, them two had a good partnership going. There's no two ways about it. But I think Sharpie was right. I think there's been obviously a problem off the field between the manager. And I know things can be sorted out, but I think maybe once more than twice or three times he'd overstepped the mark with timekeeping or whatever it might be. I don't really know the ins and outs. You never get to hear that. But yeah. I think sometimes as a manager, it's about respect and, you know, other players in your team. And, like, it's a small thing, but timekeeping in football, as Graham will tell you, it's massive, isn't it? You know, and people need to be respecting, you know, certain rules and regulations. And, you know, if you're a player turning up late for training and you're disrespecting the manager, the club, everything. So I think he'd gone past the point where he could come back, Sacco.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call, pal.
Cheers, Steve.
All right,
appreciate that. It's interesting as well, as a manager, though, if you've got Philip Coutinho and this idea that, you know, Sacco was frozen out, Coutinho wasn't. If Jurgen Klopp had highlighted Virgil van Dijk as his number one target, he's done the same thing, hasn't he, at Southampton? So he can't freeze out Coutinho for handing in a transfer request and then sign a lad for 70 million quid who's done exactly the same thing at a different club.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think as well with Coutinho, as we've seen against Leicester, he's probably our best player.
Yeah.
He is. He's that good, you know, and we've got him back. And I just think, I know obviously that a lot of Liverpool fans will feel aggrieved that maybe what went on, but we've got him back now. He's here, so let's just make use of him and get the best out of him. You know what I mean? I just feel he's here and he is that good of a player.
And he's
not like a bad egg. He's going to go over there and work hard.
I was going to say that, Dom. Yeah. I think you'll get a positive reaction from Coutinho. And I don't think he's a bad egg in the dressing room. And I think the players would welcome back. I'm not too sure if that would have been the case with Sacco.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not
That's
too sure. And then Klopp thinking, to bring a bad egg back into the dressing room and upset the dressing room. So he's got to be very careful there. So I don't think there was any problem at all with bringing Coutinho back. I don't think either caused any unrest in the dressing room at all.
Well, I wonder whether or not half of the problems in Liverpool's defence were exposed because Coutinho was taken off after 45 minutes. I know that was the plan in terms of getting him into the first team again. But first half, he had some really magic moments, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the park. You know, he creating things. He sees that ball that other players don't see, and he's just unlucky we didn't get the goal. I mean, I watched the Burnley game as well, and he's desperate to get that goal. He's absolutely dead. He may be just a half a yard short of his up-to-speed fitness. I mean, at Burnley, you know, last season he was just getting another yard quicker forward and getting the shots off. Against Burnley, they were just getting to him a little bit quicker, and he couldn't quite get the shots away as accurate as he has been, but... Listen, he's a top quality player, and you know, I think you'll get the best out of Philip Coutinho. There's no two ways about it.
Just gone 7 o'clock. Radio City Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. Neil's tweeted the Radio City Talk account in terms of the back four for the weekend: Donald, Daffy, Bugs, and Tweety by, with Clavan on the bench just in case.
A bit harsh.
Thanks for your tweet. At Radio City Talk, if you want to get involved on that one, or give us a shout on 015 1472 0967. It's The Legends with 188Bet.
Radio City Talk. The Legends with 188Bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's The Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
We've got Graham Sharp in the studio. We've got Dominic Matteo as well. Get involved on the phones 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends with 188Bet. Go to radiocity.co.uk. Check out the Legends page for exclusive offers and some of the best prices available. Listen again to the show and get the latest offers from 188Bet. Please gamble responsibly. If you want to get on the phones, Dave's answering the phone tonight. You even get a chance with him. You're going to have a chat with him, all kinds of things. Cheering us all up, 0151 472 0967. In the meantime, Graham Sharp and Dominic Matteo will have to do. Do you think Jurgen Klopp is... He obviously still has Liverpool fans on board in terms of what he's achieving. Do you think there's an element of frustration in maybe some of his press conferences when he's talking about the frustration and yet when the next match day comes around, things aren't really changing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, possibly the fans are thinking that it's the same mistake repeating week in, week out, and that's the one thing I think they'll be frustrated with. I'm sure the manager's on the training field trying to put that right. You know, he was a defender himself, so I'm sure he's working on them things day in, day out. And for me, that's probably the one thing that fans are getting a little bit frustrated with. But it's sometimes when you go through these bad spells, it is the defence who always cop for it. But you have to get through this as a team. You have to work together as a team. And maybe the strikers and the midfield lads, like we just talked about, the holding midfield, they have to do a bit more as well. I know it's like sometimes set pieces and the big centre-half need to pick up their strikers. And they have to do the job. You have to win your heads against you're the centre-half when you're marking them on corners. But it's just highlighted more when things are going badly.
I think it's similar to the Everton situation where Jimmy Carragher mentioned it at the weekend about Everton centre-backs dropping too deep and goals being conceded in and around the six-yard box. I think Liverpool have got problems as well. You know, with set pieces, and you know, and every time a ball goes in the box, it's panic stations and supporters are panic. But if I'm Liverpool fans now, I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, since Klopp, okay, Rodgers, but since Klopp's come in and said, and the players he signed in a forward position, you go, wow, they're one of the best, if not the best, at going forward. Fantastic on the day, great play, quick, aggressive, you know, and you're thinking, everything's great there. But it's the old thing again, and I think that's where he's getting the stick, is the fact that, forget about Van Dijk, defensively, they haven't been at it, you know, and he sold players and he brought players in. And as a unit, they haven't been at it. So I think that's a frustrating thing for Liverpool fans, because you can see in one stage, this is brilliant, this is absolutely fantastic, but why have we not fixed this? And I think that's where the frustration is coming from Liverpool. On the other side of the park, Everton, frustrations are, they haven't got a recognised centre-forward as such. I mean, an experienced one, and they had the summer to do it. So the frustration is coming from that, and the fact that obviously they've lost the games in the first five games, and some of the big teams, and the European game against Atalanta was poor. So the frustrations are different, but they're probably a little bit similar. And they want to see better from their team. They know they can do better than what they're actually doing. And I think from Liverpool's point of view, as I said, if I'm watching Liverpool every week and seeing the attacking side of things, I'm going home happy.
Yeah, I think as well, the Manchester lot as well, as we call them, you know, they've improved in the areas where they need to. You know, Man City got the fullbacks in, that was well, you know, the last season they were struggling down the sides. Man United, Matic from Chelsea, you know, from Chelsea, which I thought was a masterstroke from Mourinho. Little things like that don't help with the Liverpool fans as well, because they're the kind of probably the players that we were after in the areas that we need.
All right, let's say from the Blues, let's go over to Chillwall. We've got Joe on the line, Graham Sharp. You are on with Joe in Chillwall. He's a Blue, he's called the Radio City Legends.
Hi, Joe.
Just a few things, really. I mean, obviously, I think we're all thinking the same. We're hoping that last night, obviously, kicked on the season, you know. The roar in the ass and John Joe Kenny just shows that Koeman listening to the fans, whether it's late in the day when we expect, you know, Calvert-Lewin, I don't know whether we're overrating him at the minute, but he's doing a job. I don't want us to make the mistake we made with, two of them playing last night, Rodwell and James Vaughan. Okay, James Vaughan, injuries aside, we tend to overrate young players, but he's doing a job, he's doing what we need to do. I think that first goal, Graham, a few of them by us, the older generation were saying, yeah, we might have another Graham Sharp on our hands here, but...
they've got a good memory, Joe.
they have, Graham, yeah. And, I mean, the worry for me last night was, I mean, first half, we were sloppy, I think they were nervous, I think they knew they had to do something last night. And then, but for me, James Vaughan, he was winning 9 out of 10 headers. I was sitting there thinking, we've just signed Michael Keane, you've got an experienced centre-half playing there, and he's winning. If he had someone alongside him, if he'd have put them two headers away, it's a different
Spot
game,
on.
You know what I mean?
Spot
and
on.
That was the worry for me from last night. John Joe Kenny had a good game. Holgate was a little bit rusty. Besic was some floppy passes. Some things were absolutely fantastic. Davy Klaassen, again, still
struggled.
He's 5 minutes behind play.
Yeah.
There's players there, Darren Gibson. Just walking past him at one point, I was sitting there thinking, I don't know whether he's tired or, and I'm just hoping it's taking him time to adapt, and he's got to get used to, got to get used to how we play, to be honest. But I mean, the kick on for the season now.
Joe, but just here's one for you, Joe. If you go to the game Saturday, and you're walking to Goodison, what would you want to see your back four as?
Do you know what? I want to see John Joe Kenny again. I want to see John Joe Kenny and Baines at the fullbacks. Centre halves against what they've got. I'd play Jagielka and Keane, or I'd consider Holgate and Keane, but I think that might be a bit risky. I'd say Jagielka and Keane. Ashley Williams it done me head in. Someone put one of the players put a picture on Instagram today, and people are saying he's fat. Obviously, he might have put a bit of weight on. He's lost it. I don't think it's because he's fat. He's just his legs are going, and we understand that. But so I'd say Jagielka for the experience, Keane for a little bit of extra pace. In the middle, I'd probably say Schneidlin. I bring Schneidlin Gay back in.
Joe, do you think? I think we'll speak to a few Evertonians as well, especially at home, and we're playing Bournemouth. Would you be more, how can I say, agreeable to playing just one of those two and play just one holding midfield player?
I would, in my opinion, I'd play Idrissa Gueye all day long. And play, so against the likes of Harry Arthur and people who are playing in the middle for them, I think he's fit. But the type of players they play, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, do you know what? Yeah, just play Gueye.
Yeah.
Give Schneidlin a rest. I play Gueye over Schneidlin every day of the week. And then I'd go maybe Davison. And Vlas has impressed me at times last night, to be honest.
Did okay. Yeah, did okay.
He's only a kid, isn't he? And then I'd play Sandro Calvert-Lewin, and I think obviously he's probably going to bring Rooney back in, isn't he?
But yeah.
For me, I'd go 4-3-3, definitely. I wouldn't change the formation.
No.
I'd change the roster. I wouldn't change the formation from last night.
Okay.
It worked.
The reason why I'm just saying this is, you know, obviously go there on Saturday and Bournemouth will come and think, yeah, good time to play Everton. We'll frustrate them a little bit. What we've got to do is, like, we've got to start quick. And I'm thinking, I've picked the same back four as you that I think the majority would like to see. I'm not sure if we'll see that. That's my only worry. And the punter's coming in thinking, oh, I thought we should have started with that four. And I think that's going to be interesting to see what the manager picks. Nias comes into the picture. Does he make the bench? Would you have him on the bench?
I'd 100% put him on the bench, yeah. 100%. Mm. I mean, he's come on. And we can't really say whether he's a good player or not. He's raw. But he hasn't had that full chance. Even when we had him and Kone was coming on before him.
True.
I mean, he went and scored 8 goals for Hull. Do you know, that's... He'd done well there. And I mean... And some of the finish, his finish to the night was a
brilliant.
Good finish.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And I'm looking at thinking, obviously, Calvert-Lewin, he bought his starting place with the two goals.
Yep.
Could have had an asterisk. That header was phenomenal. Mm. It was very unlucky in the post. For me, he's got to be on the bench. If you can put the likes of Morales and Aaron Lennon on the bench. Mm. Morales, by the way, who Koeman speaks highly of his terrible attitude.
Mm.
And he speaks highly of Nias's positive attitude. So for me... He's got to be on the bench, and he's something different.
Yep.
He's awkward for I think he's awkward in himself, but he's awkward for defenders. You don't know. He brings that ball down. You don't know where he's going to go, what he's going to do. And I don't think at the minute, I don't think anyone knows what he's going to do.
Hmm.
So I give him a chance. I mean, obviously, 0-0, 65 minutes in, it's not a time to bring him on unless someone's tired. But
yeah.
I mean, if you're playing a game, you're 1-0 up. Look at Lukaku the other day. I know he scored against us, but again, United 2-0 up, and he gets a goal.
Yeah.
We've done it for Everton. I think we were 2-0 up at times, and he was scoring 2 or 3 for Everton. Mm. So you're giving Nias that chance, and it's confidence with Everton at the minute.
Definitely.
If you look at the players out there, Jonjo Kenny will be coming away from that game thinking, if he's not in the squad Saturday, never mind the starting 11, he must be thinking to himself, you know, what have I got to do?
Mm.
And you hear Koeman saying, Kenny this and Kenny that. Well, yeah, people are saying it for a reason. And Koeman's one of the managers, he seems like, and I understand he sees what we don't see. I get that.
Mm.
He sees them training week in, week out. He sees the attitude. We don't see that. We just see what's on the pitch from a fan's point of view. At the end of the day, he's the manager. We're paying to be there. He's getting paid to be there. So there's a different perspective from what he sees. And a few people are jumping the gun too early, saying he can't do it. He's not good enough. It's early days.
Yeah.
He signed players to make up for Lukaku's goals in different areas of the pitch. And at the minute, it's not working.
Mm.
But let's say that does work. Sigurdsson with 5 or 6 set-piece goals, or you've got Sandro cutting inside and having a shot. Rooney with goals. If it does work, then that's off to him. But I think in terms of the signings that he's made, good players, but I think at the time it was probably the wrong signings for what we actually needed. He said he got to his fifth choice centre-forward. We still didn't see the fifth choice come in, so you know, whether that was Walsh or him, again, as a fan, we don't know, Sharpie.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call, pal.
Yeah,
really
cheers,
great points,
mate.
There from Joe in Chillwater as well. There might be some Everton fans who might see Martinez's name on the team sheet at the weekend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he's got a situation now where, you know, there's a swell of opinion that Jonjo Kenny should be playing and get the opportunity. Played the other night. Did he let MD down? Not at all. I think first half he was reserved in terms of, like, you know, just feeling into the position and the team. I think the one thing you get from him is as soon as the ball comes to him, he's a centre-forward's dream, or a striker's dream, because right away he opens himself up and looks up and looks to play that ball in quickly. The number of times you get it now where it goes back and goes back and goes out the other side, Jonjo looks to get it and play, and if there's anything in front of him to play, he'll do it. Second half, he got more involved going forward. He was overlapping, puts a good cross into the box when he gets here. So, you know, I think he did really, really well the other night, but whether it's enough to merit a start on Saturday, we'll just have to wait and see.
Right, let's go up the road to Melling. We've got Kev on the line. Kev, you're on with the Radio City Legends. We've got Dominic Matteo here for you.
Hello, boys. Nice to speak to you again.
Hey, Kev.
How are you doing, right, Kev?
Just for a quick one for Graham. I mean, you probably know this. the jinx, Graeme. Do you remember Mark, me speaking to Mark Lawrence about all the games I've been with Liverpool? And,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I did have to go to the Burnley game. And it struck again, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You shouldn't be admitting that. You should just be keeping quiet.
Well, it just happened. And my mate was pretty reluctant to give me a ticket, but when he did, and I did go, and unfortunately, the jinx struck again, you know. So I think he's banned me from even going
there. Yeah,
don't
blame him.
No problem. It's like, obviously, once again, as you know, I always harp on about this defence. And just a quick one to Dominic about the having played for Liverpool in defence, Dominic.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have some sympathy with this defence, or, you know?
Well, yeah, I think, of course. I mean, listen, no one's going out there trying to get beaten, trying to concede goals. But what I think when you're having a bad time as a defender, I had to learn quickly because Liverpool were obviously going through a it's like a transitional period when I was coming through. It was a difficult time for the club as well with, you know, the older players packing in and the young lads coming through. It was basically, when you're having a bad time, I always find go back to your basics, go back to defending well and defending properly. When you have to clear your lines, you clear your lines. Don't take any chances and do things right. And I think as a club, it wouldn't be a bad thing to do that. You know, say to your fullbacks, maybe don't bomb on as much. And to be fair, I've heard Jurgen Klopp when I've been working and I've been down on the touchline. He has said to his fullbacks, defend. You know, so it's not like the information's not going on. I think sometimes we're just so committed, especially at fullbacks, we can leave the two centre halves bare, and we haven't got the right, like in my opinion, the right person in front of the back four to stop that. I think it does put a bit of pressure on the two centre halves. Don't get me wrong. When we were talking about corners and winning your headers as a centre half, first and foremost, you have to do that. You know, I had a lot of stick in my early years playing at Liverpool for not doing enough of that. So I went on the training field and I worked hard on it. I stayed behind and I got better at it. And it seems like, for me, centre-halves have to become centre-halves again. I think nowadays there's too much pressure on them to be absolute Beckenbauers all the time, get on the ball and try and play out. If that's not in your game, do what you're good at and defend. And then, you know, the master of that for Liverpool was Jamie Carragher. Yeah. He played to his strength, he talked, he organised. And I just wish a few more of the Liverpool players, and even the Everton players as well, Graeme, you've seen him. You know, if you're organised and you talk and you do your job properly, you'll win more than you lose.
I just found the Burnley game, like, the Klopp just seemed to be so tentative, and that was saying down to the players, you know. It just seemed everything they were touching, it was like everybody was, oh, you know, and even the goalkeeper, you know, to not pass it back or, you know, get it up the field. Everything just seemed to be going on at the back defence, you know, and that seemed to be portrayed, especially on Magnus Klavan, you know. He seemed to be the one they all seem to be targeting at the moment. And I don't think he's giving the lad any confidence. I don't think he's a bad defender. I think he's just confidence at the moment. He's going to be pretty shot, you know. And I think with not having, you know, we haven't got a great amount to choose for, have we, you know. No. So if his confidence goes, isn't it? And the other thing as well, sorry, Dominic.
Sorry, man. No, I just think we're maybe missing that one leader. I know I've gone about Carragher many times on this show and other shows. It's just that leader, you know, just sometimes that voice. You know, when you're playing centre-half and it's quiet, you need someone talking all the time. You can't play football and not talk. I just feel like nowadays in the modern game, there's not enough characters out there.
Yeah.
You know, it seems, I'm not saying the robots, because they're not, but they're all good players, very good players. But I just feel like sometimes the game needs that character, that leader, just to, knowing like at half time in the dressing room, maybe rough a few feathers up, you know, maybe speak to people. Come on, you're not pulling your weight today. Because that used to happen in my day, and it happened more than once, you know. So I think sometimes the game has changed in a lot of ways for the better, but in other ways for the worse, in my opinion.
I think he does that in the dressing room now, Kev. I think they look at you as if you had two heads, wouldn't they? Especially the foreign lads.
Won't speak to you for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kev, thanks for the call, pal.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks
good luck with the curse.
Cheers.
That's Kev on the line in Melling. It's 0151 472 0967. If Jurgen Klopp decided not to change the goalkeeper, would that offer a little bit of stability to that back four? Particularly for those fans who stood behind a Simon Mignolet, thinking, well, at least we know what we're getting from him.
Most definitely. But I mean, I just think that maybe, possibly, he's not sure who the best is, because they've all played a part in this season so far. I mean, Ward came in and he did nothing wrong against Leicester.
Yeah.
You know, the two goals he couldn't have done nothing about. So I think I think you're right. Pick a goalkeeper and stick with him.
Yeah.
You know, week in, week out, and give the back four a chance to build a bit of it, you know, a repertoire with him. And, you know, I think sometimes as well, with Mignolet, sometimes if you're not going to come for crosses, I used to play with Nigel Martin, obviously the ex-Evertonian, I knew Nigel wasn't going to come for stuff. So me and Rio, whoever played at Leeds at the time, we'd have to go and win them headers. So at least we knew where we were at. And I think sometimes there's not enough communication between the goalkeeper and the centre-half.
I like that. You know what your goalkeeper's going to do. You know what your goalkeeper's not going
to
do.
But listen, but as a goalkeeper himself, see if he came up and said to Simon Mignolet, whoever it is, and said, right, I tell you what, you're my number one.
Yeah.
that would make him feel 100 times better, and he'd go into the next game thinking, right, okay. And then, listen, if he has a dip in form, he realises and he knows that somebody else is going to come in and replace him. But I think you've got to say, that's my number one, and I'm sticking with him. Come rain or shine, I'm sticking with him. The only way you're coming out is if it's a Carabao Cup or you have a massive dip in form.
Sorry, mate, just one last one. Just when he took Mignolet out of the team last time and Carriers came in, and then when he brought Mignolet back, he was a better keeper last year, and he just seems to have lost his way a little bit again.
Let's get another caller online. It's Gary. He's a Blue. He's in Kirby. Hi, Gary. You're on with the Radio City Legends.
Hello, lads.
Hello, Gary.
Hello. Came at the game last night. I mean, I've been close to the... I've wanted John Joe Kenny in for a while to give him a chance. Now, I don't think he's done enough last night, John Joe, to get into a Premier League sort of success. I think he was steady.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's done enough to say, right, you know, I'm really going to have a good go here and try and stake the claim. Because I think we got... Seamus being out, I don't think Martinez is the sort of the one going forward. I was hoping that Jonjo was really put his claim in there last night. But I don't think he's enough to say, right, give me a chance here. I'm a little bit disappointed with him.
Well, guys, that's a good opinion. And speaking to people today, I thought first half he was a little bit apprehensive, thinking, you know, I'm just going to not take any chances here. I'm just going to play it safe, which you can understand. Like, it's a big thing for him to make his debut. I thought second half he grew in confidence and got better.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I've been watching him for a while, you know, a few games, reserves, and arriving. I thought, good one, John Joe, you know, get a good grip for that. You know what I mean? I was a bit disappointed. I think Donald Toome, I think he'll bring Martina back in on Saturday.
Do you think so?
I think he'll just rest them. I think he just rested them lads last night. You know what I mean? Calvert-Lewin, he's probably got to play. We've took goals out of our team and the guys, and we haven't got goals at the moment. So I think with Calvert-Lewin even scoring two, you've got to put him in there, you know what I mean, for the purpose of the exercise. Because we need a striker. I think at the moment, Sandro's probably finding his feet. And he's a little bit coming deep, and he's not like on the shoulder of the centre half asking for the ball to go to, you know. So I think Calvert-Lewin will probably play on Saturday.
Gary, I mentioned to one of the callers, would you just play at home, especially just one holding midfield player?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that's been our problem against something we played. I don't think you can play Gay and Schneider in the same sort of setup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think them two are very much of the same as in holding midfield. I think we struggle with two of them playing because we sat deep. And then the other three lads, where we had Rooney, Guilty, Sigerson and Sandro, they were coming deep for the ball against Tottenham. And the centre halves at Tottenham just had the flip-flops on, the Dechi and Cigar. I'll have a sit-off here today. No one's coming near me, So they just sat off. But I think we've got to sort of make sure we've got someone up front, you know. I think Calvert-Lewin worked the line against Man City brilliantly, you know. He made up when we went to Man City. He ran across the back line. He caused them a few problems with his pace and his annoyance. I was like a little busy wasp, you know what I mean? So I think we've got to sort of get that sort of mentality while we haven't got a recognised striker. Like, sort of like...
Gary, would you play? I'm just thinking. I'm just trying to note it in front of me. Four, to say Idrissa Gueye sitting in front of the four. Would you play Lookman?
I'd have to, and I'll tell you why. Like, because he is a bit of a danger. Yeah. And he can keep the ball. The only thing with Lookman, obviously, he's young and he's inexperienced. When he loses the ball, he sort of shrugs his shoulders and looks at the ground, going instead of saying, "Like, I need to get back here and get behind the ball." But I probably would, because he might give us a bit of time to join in the attack up there.
Yeah. All right, Gary, thanks for the call, pal. We're going to have to move on because we're just wrapping up the show. Let's get your predictions, Jen. Everton versus
Gary.
Bournemouth.
I'm going to go for an Everton win.
And Leicester versus Liverpool again.
Liverpool win.
Gents, thank you for your time. Sharpie, guess who's back on Monday?
Aldo.
Finally, Aldo returns. Dominic Mattia, thank you for your time.
Mate, thank you.
Graeme Sharp as well. It's the Radio City Legends.
Radio City Talk. The Legends with 188bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.